According to the calendar, there are 43 days left in 2019 before the new year. And yet in the Catholic Church, it's only 13 days. Because for the church, the calendar does not reset on January the 1st, but rather on the first Sunday of Advent. And so here we are in the 33rd of 34 Sundays of Ordinary Time. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. And then the Saturday evening after that, we begin the season of Advent, our proximal preparation for the celebration of Jesus' birth, but also for his return in glory. And so as we reach the end of the church's year, the church's readings at the Sunday Mass tend to focus on things that will happen at the end of time. And so we have Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, talking about preparing for the first coming of Christ. We have Paul talking to the Thessalonians in the second reading about preparing for the second coming of Christ. And then in the gospel, we have Jesus right there in the middle between his first coming and his departure as he was about to die on the cross. Chapter 21 of Luke finds Jesus on Wednesday of Holy Week. There's already been Palm Sunday and people crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that first Holy Week, Jesus was there in the temple and he was preaching and teaching. And Jesus had a very special relationship with the temple at Jerusalem. He believed, as did all the Jewish people, that it was the dwelling place of God in their midst. And so, as one that came from heaven, as one who is God and part of the most blessed Trinity, nowhere on earth did Jesus feel closer to his Father than when he was in his Father's house. This is why he threw the money changers out earlier in this chapter. He said, "You will not make my Father's house a marketplace." Truth is, Jesus felt more at home in the temple of Jerusalem than he did growing up with Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. He guards this temple severely. He wants to keep it pure. And sadly, he also knows that it's going to be destroyed. In Luke's account, just before Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he looked at the temple and he wept because he knew it was going to be destroyed. And so even though he's about to be destroyed, he only has hours of freedom left before his betrayal, his arrest, and being led out to the cross, his concerns are never for himself. They never were, they never will be. His concern was always for his sheep. He was always putting the needs of others ahead of his own. And so in his last moments of freedom, he's not talking about his own death, but he's talking about suffering that others are going to have to endure. The destruction of the temple, persecution for the Jewish people, and persecution for his disciples. He sees a lot of concern on many different fronts. Jesus was often regarded as a prophet because he understood things about people that no one else did, and he understood things about the future that no one else could predict. And when he forecast the destruction of the temple, that really wasn't news or new for the people of Jerusalem because the temple had been destroyed countless times over the 9 centuries since Solomon had built it. But every time it was rebuilt, and grander than before. But Jesus said there will not be left stone upon stone. When the temple is destroyed this time, it is the last time. And that would be an unfortunate loss because there was only one temple. We have many churches, and you could go to any church, any Catholic church, and have it count for your obligation for Sunday Mass. But if you were of the Jewish faith, you could only worship God in the temple. Synagogues were house of teaching and prayer, but to offer incense and sacrifice and worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that happens only in Jerusalem, only in that temple. And that means when the temple's destroyed, God is no longer dwelling with his chosen people, and they can no longer worship him. This would all come to pass 40 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. And much like our Revolutionary War, where our colonial forefathers rose against the British crown because of taxation without representation, that's what kicked off the first Jewish revolt in the year 66 AD. After 130 years of Roman occupation, God's chosen people of Israel and Judah said, "We will no longer pay these taxes." And so even though they were so minuscule and their armaments so few, they decided to rise up against the Roman governor and the legions in their midst. In Rome, the Emperor Nero heard about this, and so he sent Vespasian, who would eventually be his successor, and Vespasian's son Titus, with many legions to go to Jerusalem and to stop this revolt. And they stopped it all right. By the time it was all over, more than 1 million Jewish people were dead, largely from starvation because Rome had cut off their supply chain. 100,000 Jewish men were sent into slavery as prisoners of war, and Jerusalem would no longer be their home. They destroyed the temple and dispersed the people. This is how so many people ended up in all across Europe of the Jewish faith, where centuries later they would be persecuted again by the Nazi regime. And that also explains why Israel became Palestine, because then when they are kicked out, the Arab peoples moved in. And so for the better part of 2,000 years, the Arabs had it. For the 2,000 years before that, the Jewish people had it. And that's why they continue to fight over it to the present day. They both think that it belongs to them. But when the temple was gone, so was God's dwelling among his people. And Jesus understood that was something that they too would weep about, and they still do. If you've ever been to Jerusalem or seen it on the news, they go to the Western Wall. Popes and presidents and premiers and prime ministers and princes all go to the Western Wall and stick their little prayers in the cracks in the stone. That's all that remains of that temple. But Jesus, as sad as the temple destruction was, knew that it wasn't as sad as it could be, because he was going to replace that temple. Whereas the temple would never be rebuilt, whereas he himself was about to be destroyed, he would be rebuilt on the third day. He would be resurrected. And that would be hope in the face of all this despair. That would be light in the face of darkness, life in the face of death. And that's why, as he forecasts this terrible suffering of the Jewish people, they should look not to the temple, but to God's dwelling in the flesh. They should look to him. And for the Christians who are about to suffer, because Nero, as much as he hated the Jews, hated the Christians more, they should set their hopes on Jesus, and through him, eternal life. Because this world and its kings will always cause suffering. Christians have always suffered in this world, and we always will, because this isn't heaven, and all the signs show us that this world is more hostile to the gospel than ever before. But if Jesus is forecasting all this suffering for his people, how can he tell them, not a hair on your head will be destroyed if you persevere in your faith? That's because Jesus knew that people can harm and even destroy the body, but the soul that comes from God belongs to God and will return to him, just as Jesus comes from God, belongs to God, and would return to him at the ascension. He's calling all of us to himself. He's calling all of us away from this world of sadness, sickness, disappointment, and death, trials and tribulations, so that one day we truly can be set free and go be with him and with all the saints in glory. So the sufferings will come. That is a given. Having faith will not protect us from suffering in this life. Persevering in our faith will make sure that we don't suffer forever. It means that one day we can leave the temporary crosses that we must bear behind and exchange them instead for the crown of glory. So that given the choice of hope or despair, darkness or light, we choose faith and persevering in that faith, because though we may be cast on the stormy seas of life, when we're anchored firmly in the cross of Jesus Christ, we trust and believe that he will bring us through the storm to the safe harbors of heaven.